This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
And it has to cool overnight in the refrigerator because you roll them out. So to roll out the dough, it needs to be, you know, cold.
I thought you just bought like a tub of stuff and you spooned them out and put them on the...
You've heard me talk about home-baked...
You make your own batter?
Goodies.
Goodness gracious.
We just buy that little... I love this stuff.
We buy that tub and you like spoon out the stuff and put it on the thing and you got cookies.
We do that the rest of the year. But when it comes holiday time, you got to get serious. So we make Grandma Wheeler's molasses cookies.
Ah.
Yes.
Your grandmother.
My grandmother.
Your mother's mom?
My dad's mom.
Your dad's mom. Is she still with us?
She's not.
But she could make some cookies.
She taught me how to make these cookies.
Really?
And
so this is a special thing for you. You used to make cookies with her when you were a kid.
Sure. Well, mostly I eagerly anticipated the arrival of these cylindrical containers of Quaker Oats. You know the Quaker Oats container?
Yeah.
But it'd be packed full of molasses cookies.
Ah.
It was the perfect round size. And there'd be a little piece of wax paper in between each cookie. And you get the stack of cookies.
Like a Pringles can, but with cookies.
Exactly.
Nice.
And so we get multiple Quaker Oats things. She'd just save them up all year long. And she'd fill them up with cookies at the holidays.
And what's the secret to them? What makes
them? Well, a lot of molasses and coffee is in them.
Really?
Yep.
So you get a little
so
jolt.
That's the traditional one.
You get sugar and caffeine.
Yeah, I haven't tested that, but I guess that's the potential's there. They're really just really good molasses cookies. So, but there's another good cookie I ran into a couple years ago in Williamsburg, and I bet you've had it, at one of the taverns, not the taverns, but the bakery. The bakery behind, I think, Raleigh Tavern.
Oh, down in Colonial Williamsburg.
In Colonial Williamsburg. There's a little Williamsburg bakery, and they sell the ginger cookie.
Ah,
have you ever had that?
No, but I haven't, but I love ginger cookies.
Well, they've got a great one there. So I had that ginger cookie, and I thought, I need to meld these two recipes. So I took that upon myself and created a best of both cookies recipe.
Really? Sweet.
So now we have the Williamsburg Wheeler molasses ginger something something.
So they're baking like crazy at the Wheeler house right now.
I did them last night. I baked them.
Where are they right now? Like where are those cookies?
I was thinking, I've got to bring Coy some so we can taste these.
Of course you
do.
Goodness, I can't believe you baked them last night and didn't bring me any.
Although
we're really not hurting for, as you can look out here in the lobby, we're really not hurting for sweet treats.
Staff is doing well.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff out there.
A bunch of them are in the FedEx box near the office right now because I'm shipping them to my parents. So now the tradition has sort of shifted to me. So my grandmother used to mail them out. Now I'm the one mailing them out.
Do you
out.
Send them out in the oatmeal container?
No, because we don't eat that much oatmeal. apparently my grandmother ate a lot of oatmeal.
You don't like oatmeal? I love oatmeal.
I love oatmeal.
I like grits better than oatmeal.
Know, these days we just buy those little individual
I think if
packets.
I had to rank them, it would be grits, cream of wheat, oatmeal.
But now we have this. Now I make both types of cookies. I sent my dad and my Uncle Paul the traditional grandmother's molasses because that's what they grew up with.
Yeah.
But I sent my mom some of both. So she got the new one and the old one.
Let me ask you a food question as long as we're talking about food.
I'm an expert on this.
When I was little, everybody in my family dipped peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in tomato soup. I thought it was a normal thing. I thought that it's what you did if you had peanut butter and jelly sandwich with tomato soup. I thought that you just dipped them. I mentioned this last night to both my daughter and my wife, and they both looked at me like I was crazy. Like, you would never dip peanut butter and jelly sandwich in tomato soup, but I thought that's just what people did. It's very normal in my house.
I don't think they do that, Coy. And they also don't put ketchup on as many things as you put ketchup on.
Oh, ketchup on pizza is good, and that's all I'm going to say. It's mighty, mighty good. Brian Wheeler is the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk a little growth and development, and there are big growth and development items in the news, Brian.
There are. Let's talk transportation. Follow up on your previous guest. You had Delegate David Toscano in here.
Yeah.
And I want to flesh out a few of those things he talked about and bring you up to speed on some of the conversations with city councilors and the Board of Supervisors. Right now, as I mentioned last week and sort of previewing today, Dennis Rooker has reached a new low in his thinking about
that was funny.
About transportation funding.
Maybe we should just let the roads go bad so people know how bad it is.
That's what he was saying.
Because you have no money. There's no money for roads around here.
He sent around to local media, including WINA this morning and Charlottesville Tomorrow. He sent us a PowerPoint presentation that VDOT recently reviewed the Commissioner of Transportation gave this PowerPoint, and Dennis was in the audience. So he got, that's where these numbers came from. And he points out in this email to the news media, we're expecting to have 10 to 15% of the transportation funds we had 6 years ago. Only 10 to 15%. And that's before you take into account inflation. So
we've lost 85 to 90% of the transportation funding that this region had 6 years ago.
Correct. So
it's, what do you do with 10%?
Not much.
Make a yield sign? I mean, goodness.
Now, what's interesting to me is people in the community that for a long time have said, you need to build roads. Why aren't you building roads?
Yeah.
And
there aren't any unless it's a developer building a new neighborhood.
Right. And it's a proffer coming in that says we need to build this lane here or add a light there.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing we're able to, you know, cobble together enough money to do something. But these bigger projects, and the county, as I mentioned, has three main projects on their wish list. Meadow Creek Parkway, Jarman's Gap Road out in Crozet. They want to put sidewalks and bike lanes on that.
Is that all they want to do, that when they say Jarman's Gap? That's what they mean. They don't want to expand it or
right.
another lane. Or
yep.
It's wide enough. They just need to fix it up.
Make it more pedestrian, bike friendly.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of new neighborhoods, and they want to make it easier for people to walk and ride their bikes to downtown Crozet.
Yeah.
Instead
yeah.
of just going to downtown Old Trail, which is the new development out in Crozet. That,
right.
And people want to make sure that the original Crozet downtown still has, you know,
some life
the
to
kind
it.
Of activity.
Yeah.
So that's the second road, and then Georgetown Road in the Jack Jewett District right near.
What's wrong with Georgetown?
Same thing. It needs bike lanes and better sidewalks.
I've asked you about that before. It sort of has a hodgepodge of paths on it that those kids use that who go to the school over
yep.
there.
But, you know, it's not it's not friendly if you're, you know, certain, I'm trying to think of the right words here. You know, if you're handicapped or you've got a stroller or something, you've got a walker,
yeah.
it's not the kind of path that's conducive to that.
Right.
Because
right.
it winds around a lot of these trees. There are bumps where the roots are, you know, pushing up the little
yeah.
temporary path that sort of was.
And those are the big three for Albemarle County. But two of those three aren't new roads. They're just sprucing up existing roads.
That's right. And of course, many people would say Meadow Creek Parkway is not a new road either. It's just yeah. never been built. So that's, you know, that's sort of the state of this. So the people that say, why aren't you doing things? I think people like Dennis Rooker and the Board of Supervisors would say, well, it's because the money just keeps dwindling and the cost of projects keeps increasing. So they can't keep up with the rate of inflation to do some of these things. That leads us into the transit discussion that the community's having. And what Delegate David Descano mentioned was that he's working on two different bills related to transportation and transit. The first of those would enable the city and county to work better together on transit.
And that's overdue.
This would not create a new bureaucracy. It wouldn't create new staff. It would just take the existing Charlottesville Transit System, CTS, and have it come under the governance of this new entity, which would have elected officials.
It would be the Albemarle-Charlottesville or Charlottesville-Albemarle bus system.
Right.
Instead of just the Charlottesville bus system that has some routes in the county.
That's right. And the idea is the county wants to have a greater say in where those buses go and how the routing decisions are made. And the city also wants to be a part of a greatly expanded transit network. So to expand it further in the county, to bring the county to the table, they realized, hey, we need to govern this together. So the public that would be concerned, this is a new, you know, government entity being created. It's not really. It's taking an existing department of city government and putting a governance structure over the top of it of existing elected officials, but having those decisions then be made jointly about how to manage buses.
And to keep them separate in your mind so you know what one is, that what you're just talking about now is the transit authority.
That's right.
That David Descano is creating legislation to enable the city and the county to do that. And he mentioned that UVA might also want to participate in that.
Well, that's
because they run a big bus system,
they
too.
They do, but right now they don't really want to be a part of this. They want to be at the table listening, but they don't want but they really don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And the reason is they're concerned about their program being sort of federalized by this activity. So the RTA that the city and county would jointly work on would be eligible for a lot of federal and state funding to buy buses and other, you know, rolling stock is what they call it.
Okay.
And so if that federal money starts coming into that entity, UVA is concerned that their little bus runs that they do for charter services around athletic games and things like that
might have to meet some federal guidelines.
Actually, would not be eligible. They couldn't run it because now it would be part of an entity that's getting federal money, and apparently that's not allowed.
Ah, I see.
So they would have to spin that off as some separate entity. And the
that
other thing,
makes sense.
The other thing they say is we've already got a bus system that works for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, prove to us you're going to do something that amazing that we just will not be able to resist getting involved with before we make that decision.
And that's the RTA, the Regional RTA. Transit Authority.
So at this point, they're on the sidelines. Now, interestingly, somebody pointed out, well, what about Virginia Tech? Because Blacksburg apparently has one combined transit system between the university and the community. And somebody asked about that of the officials down there, and they basically said, well, we just don't follow the federal laws on that. We just think they're ridiculous, so we don't follow them.
That's great.
So maybe UVA will open their eyes up to that as well. Or maybe Congress will change that rule, because it seems a little wacky to me. All right, so that's the RTA. Now, the other piece of legislation relates to funding. So we were talking about the challenge of building roads. This relates to that because it's not just funding for more buses. It's also funding for transportation projects.
Like roads.
Roads, pedestrian, bike, all those kinds of things. So this second bill, I would characterize it probably a little differently, and perhaps that's because I've sat in more meetings than Toscano at the local level on this issue. So I've been sitting with the supervisors and city councilors listening to them wrestle with this. And where they are is they want the ability to raise new funds locally through up to a penny on the sales tax. So an increase of the local sales tax, and that would be levied separately in the city and the county. And those funds then would be collected by each jurisdiction, and a formula, an agreement would determine how much of that goes to run the bus system. And then the remainder would, the assumption is, be used for these transportation projects. There would be a restriction, and this bill that David Toscano is drafting will outline some of these requirements. And the requirements are that any money raised would only go towards transportation and transit.
Yeah.
It couldn't be used for other things. And the Chamber of Commerce has recommended that, you know, you create a lockbox or a trust fund. Call it something that everyone it'll be very clear, you know, that money can only be used for that purpose. The other requirement will be a voter referendum. The voters will have to vote to tax themselves to pay for this. So those were things that came out of these discussions with both members of the General Assembly, but also with stakeholders in the community.
Albemarle County did that back in the 90s when they approved the new meals tax, meals and lodgings tax, right?
That's right. But now David Toscano framed that as a transportation authority, but really it's seeking authority to raise new revenues for transportation.
Okay.
It's not creating a new entity.
Oh, okay, I got it.
Does that make
sense? So there is just one entity.
The one entity would
be
the
Regional Transit Authority.
And then the
existing
government.
And then the other legislation would allow the city and the county to create a tax to fund some of the efforts of that RTA.
And other things.
Buses and new roads.
That's right.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. You got any questions or you want to weigh in on this issue? It's 977-1070. A break for local news and weather. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
News Radio 1070 WINA has an important message for you.
Contact USAA for survey and savings details. Insurance, banking, investments, member services. USAA, we know what it means to serve.
My name is H.I. McDonough. Call me High.
37 minutes after 5 o'clock in Central Virginia, 36 degrees. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. Happy Tuesday. Did you rock out to this music when you were a kid? You remember this back in the 80s? This was a big song in the 80s. Creepy video, though.
Who was that?
the big she-male standing on a big, huge piano. You know, one of those Boy George types. It's a good song, though.
I don't want to, that was not the music I was listening to. I know that.
What were you listening to? You were those big hair bands?
I was in a high school band. I was the drummer, so that meant...
Get out. I never knew that, Brian
that
Wheeler.
Everyone had to come to my house to practice.
Because you're not traipsing your drum set all over the neighborhood.
Right. So it was fun.
What did your parents think about your band practicing? Were you down in the shag carpeted
loud.
Basement with the wood paneling?
It was unfinished, so it was often cold down there.
Ooh.
But we had the biggest speakers. You know, they were...
What kind of music did y'all play? I didn't know you were in a band.
My hearing is going to, you know, I know I'm in trouble.
What kind of music did you play?
Hard rock.
Like, what, Stones? And
yeah, Stones, Def Leppard, AC/DC.
Cool.
Zeppelin.
Yeah.
The problem was we didn't have a singer. So it was a little hard to take our band anywhere and, you know, play. So we just
You could just
jammed.
Do background music.
We just jammed.
Just a jam band.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's very cool.
We went to the high school talent show and tried out, and we didn't have a singer. And they didn't even let us into the talent
You're
show.
You're kidding. Because you didn't have a singer?
Right.
Well, why didn't you jump in Phil Collins style and be the singing drummer?
We tried. Many of us tried to sing, and just was not a good thing.
How'd you learn to play the drums?
Well, the drums are pretty easy to learn. I didn't have much trouble with that. I was the drummer, though, that always wanted to be the guitarist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So the lead guitar, not bass.
A rhythm guitar. Any kind of guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So if I could do it all over, I'd be the guitarist.
Did you learn to play guitar?
I've bought
Or was it just a drummer's dream?
Well, after I graduated from college, I did buy a guitar. Actually, I bought one of Terry Allard's old guitars.
Ah, interesting. Wow.
So I have a
Had
Terry
some magic
Allard
to it.
Takamine acoustic electric.
Very nice
I'm
guitar.
Very attached to. But I can still hardly play it. But I did take lessons from Billy Brockman's, you know, Charlottesville Music.
Yeah.
And so I took lessons, and, you know, I can do a few things on it, but my kids will point out that I can only do a few things. They play the same Beatles song over and over and over.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville. Tomorrow we'll get back to our growth and development news in just a minute. Did y'all get your tree?
We did. We went to Louisa and got it from a tree farm.
You cut it down and everything?
We did.
You let it, like they say, when you got to cut it down, you got to let it sit for a while so it drops its needles before you bring it inside.
We did not do that. Before we cut it down, we do a little family dance around the tree.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we all hold hands and walk around the tree and celebrate. This is our tree.
You're like the Simpsons or something.
And then we cut it down. But they have this little shaking machine they put it on.
Oh, okay.
So they stick it on there and shake it, and that gets rid of all the loose needles.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's good.
And but no.
Is it up? Decorated?
Yeah.
Good to go?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
We're ready.
Yeah. Bring it on. You got any presents under that tree yet?
There's some under it. I have not put any under, but I have got some under the tree. I'm shaking them, trying to figure out.
What were we...
Have you got yours?
Yeah, we put it up. Yeah, very exciting. Very Good. Exciting. I watched... I just noticed I was looking at your iGoogle here online, how you can make your own Google page.
What did you say?
That's pretty cool. I saw that Charlie Brown Christmas is on tonight at 8 o'clock on ABC. In just over 2 hours.
That's important.
That's awesome. That's one of the best. What's your favorite?
I like that one. I like, you know, all those old
I like
peanuts.
The I like the Rankin and Bass one's the best.
Are those,
like Rudolph and Santa Claus
yeah,
Coming
like
to Town.
Those. I saw that on some, you know, infomercial. There are all those DVDs
yeah.
that you can get now.
Yeah, now you can buy like a whole sets of them.
Yeah.
I watched A Christmas Story this past weekend. That was good, too. I hadn't seen it in a while. Not since last Christmas. That's a good
like
one.
Those.
So let's get back to growth and development news with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Do you want to wrap up or put a nice bow on that? See, like that transition? Let's put a nice bow on that transit news you were discussing.
No, I think we pretty much finished that one off.
We did?
Yep.
All right.
I'm ready to move on.
Let's wrap that up and then throw it in the paper bag.
So, you know, we're going to be doing a show in early January. I'm sure you are thinking about this already, Coy. Our top 10 stories. Of 2008.
Sweet.
So we need to start thinking about what are the top 10. There are going to have to be multiple entries for
pie
the water is,
pie,
supply.
Pie, well, pie,
pie. Pie is, you know, going to be number one.
Yeah.
I don't think anything could take that out of the number one slot. Pie Day 2008.
Was the number one Charlottesville Tomorrow story of 2008.
It was. It was
Absolutely.
The most fun day of the year.
Yeah.
And I was meeting with the
I'll never forget you and Sean Tubbs going in here with that pie. Cole, you got to try this.
And I was meeting with the realtors recently. And they like your idea of taking a bus around. So we may have some partners in our Pi Day 2009.
Yeah. People want to go on the next one.
It's going to be a big day.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
anyway,
this could be a huge annual event to go out with Brian Wheeler, get on a bus, and just drive around the county and eat pie. Who wouldn't want to do that?
I don't know. Sounds great.
Yeah.
So the but the water supply, the community water supply.
Oh, that's going to be up. That's going to be on the list.
Coming up with our 50-year water plan here. It's probably going to have to occupy multiple spots on the top 10 list.
Yeah.
Because there's so many facets of this that have been the big story.
And you know what's interesting, Brian? I think that is going to shape up to be a big election issue come 09 as well.
I think it will be.
Because we've got a lot of seats in the city council and the board of supervisors that are up.
Two council seats, three supervisor seats.
And they're all going to be talking about water. Every candidate's going to have a position on the water issue.
They will. And actually, all of the current sitting councilors and supervisors had positions on the water issue because we asked them when they were running for office. So Charlottesville Tomorrow, I mean, that's one of the things we're trying to do is interview the candidates, make sure we get them on the record about how they feel about these things. And but this is a story that is changing. You know, new information has been coming in a lot during 2008, and I think that's certainly one of the themes of this year. But some news from City Council last night.
That was a big meeting.
One of the first things they did was reappoint Mike Gaffney as chairman of the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority.
A controversial reappointment, according to some.
But unanimous.
It was a unanimous decision.
Sure.
Interesting.
So Mr. Gaffney, who's been on the board for a while and is that sort of fifth vote, the other four members are there by their positions and they're basically city county staff.
Yeah.
Gary Fern runs the Albemarle County Service Authority. Judy Mueller runs City Public Works. And then you have the two executives, Gary O'Connell, city manager, and Bob Tucker, county executive. So that's the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority Board. But that's a strong signal from City Council. They were in the driver's seat on the nomination this round. They picked Mike Gaffney. Obviously, they want that continuity and they value the service he's brought to that position. But they also knew that the county was going to veto anybody that was, you know, controversial, I think.
But there were a lot of other, according to the news story I read, there were a lot of other folks who could have possibly been selected
sure.
to head it up.
And City Council
qualified
interviewed
people.
Them. The one candidate that apparently stood out in those interviews, besides Mr. Gaffney, was Mike Vanieri's. He was seen as one of the...
Mitch's son?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And he was seen as one of the contenders.
Were you surprised that they... That they gave that seat again to Mike Gaffney?
I was not.
You were not?
No. Nope.
Because?
I think that they would have sent a stronger message than they were prepared to send.
The 50-year water supply plan. Yeah.
I think, you know, if you really listen carefully to what people like Dave Norris and Dave Brown say, it's that they support the fundamentals of the plan, but they have concerns that have been raised by these cost estimates, and they want to get those answers.
Those cost estimates, which have gone up and up.
They want to get those answers, but they feel like Mike Gaffney has been very open about this and has been a good leader when it comes to resolving city-county disputes.
Yeah.
And there have been some on the solid waste side that the councilors highlighted in their meeting last night and said partly they were voting for him because Gaffney did such a good job, you know, resolving that dispute. I asked Mr. Gaffney a couple months ago whether he would seek reappointment and if he was asked to serve, you know, would he? And he said he would. And he said he really wanted to see this through. So he wants to see through, you know, this phase of the plan, get a plan on the table that everyone agrees to and get it started.
Well, if this new water supply plan is our new Meadow Creek Parkway, he's going to have to live a long time.
He might have to.
Is that a paid position?
I don't know the answer to that. If it is, it's a very small stipend.
Yeah.
My guess is it's not. But I could be wrong about that.
Now, what does it mean to the 50-year water supply plan that he has been reappointed? Stay the course?
Well, the course is
really... You won't have new leadership in there making any major changes, I guess.
Well, let's keep in mind the course is really being set by City Council and the Board of Supervisors. So they had their four boards meeting...
The big summit, the big powwow,
and they all got together and said, here's where we think we are. You know, the city brought forward some demands and said, we want these things studied before we do anything else. The four boards got together because they had to figure out, is that what we're going to do or not? And they decided we'll do some of that. We won't do some of it. And last night, City Council had in front of them a written memorandum of understanding about what came out of that meeting. So they had the four boards meeting. Now they ask Gary O'Connell to bring to them some memo they could all sign off on that says, here's what we agreed to do. The challenge is you then, you know, leaving that room, they really should have written the memo when they were all together, because now you run the risk of each group wants to change it a little bit, maybe. and Dave Norris said, you know, we got to be careful here, guys. Mayor Norris said, we don't want to get into the wordsmithing of this memorandum.
Yeah.
Because then we might have trouble getting the county to approve it. That being said, he immediately got into the wordsmithing of the memorandum because there were some things he thought should be changed.
Yeah.
Now, he was going to take a different approach. He was going to say, just leave the memo the way it is, but then let's pass a resolution that says what I really want it to say. And then we won't be bound to this legal agreement, but we'll have this clear understanding, he thought, of what really needs to happen. And basically, Gary O'Connell or Dave Brown, I can't remember which one of them said it, they said the whole point of this is the RWSA is asking for clear direction
right.
on what we should be doing. So let's try to be, whatever we do tonight, council, let's try to be crystal clear.
Were they?
I think they were. Now, they've thrown a new wrinkle or two into the mix. But in general, what they did was agreed to the next steps. And you led into this by saying, what is Gaffney going to do? What does it mean that he's now chair again for the next 2 years? Well, it means he's going to do these things, because that's what city and county leaders have said is the next steps. So the next steps are to review the design for the Ragged Mountain Dam. That's the big project, the big capital project that has seen the huge cost increase in the estimate. So they want to have a panel of experts convened to look at that. That's going to happen very soon in 2009. The city and county are going to look at conservation measures and incentives. How can we be more aggressive about conserving the water that we have? That's going to be done by City Public Works and by the county's service authority. Then they're going to wait for the stewardship task force, the dredging task force that's looking at South Fork. They're going to wait for their recommendations, which will be finalized hopefully this week. They're supposed to have their last meeting Thursday. We expect they will wrap up their recommendations, and they'll hand those off to the four boards. And they will probably say, well, at this point, I'm not sure what they're going to say. Previously, I've said they're certainly going to recommend dredging. Now I'm not so sure. Some of them clearly want to dredge immediately.
For water supply and for preservation of the lake.
And recreational interest.
Yeah.
Others have said...
quote, dredging is off the table, end quote.
Well, yeah, I think that's taken a little bit out of context. But they've said if we dredge to get water capacity back, we don't need... The 50-year water plan doesn't address dredging, right?
Doesn't include the capacity that you could get from dredging.
So they're saying, we have a 50-year plan. If we just do that plan, we'll be okay on the water supply. Now, if we agree separately that dredging is a good thing to maintain this reservoir, we don't need to do it immediately because we got other plans, right? That's what they would argue.
Yeah.
So they're saying, why would you spend $250,000 on a dredging feasibility study, which everyone agrees, the next step for dredging is to study it.
Right.
Figure out exactly where the stuff is, what the opportunities are, where you can put it, what it's going to cost, all that. So there's going to have to be more studying to get to the bottom of dredging. However, what they're saying is, why spend that money now if you don't need it for the water supply? Right?
Yeah.
You may not dredge for 10 years.
So this is the debate that's going on in the task force.
This is the debate happening on the task force. So those people saying—
We might see a minority report on that task force.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm not sure what's going to happen, but there will be a set of recommendations. Dredging will be in the mix in some fashion, whether it's short-term or long-term, who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. And then the last thing that, one of the last things that they agreed to is to have another engineer eyeball this pipeline proposal, the pipeline that would connect the two reservoirs. Right now, they're not connected.
And the new reservoir doesn't work without that pipeline.
It has a pipeline today from Sugar Hollow. It needs a bigger one.
South Fork.
To fill it. And the proposal is to fill an expanded Ragged Mountain Reservoir. The current proposal is to connect it to South Fork and fill it from the Ravana. Yeah. Let the water instead
of Sugar Hollow
flow down the Mormons, come to the Ravana and catch it there, and then pump it over when you need it. And some estimates say you only need to pump it 22 days out of the year to keep Ragged Mountain full. I haven't seen that data myself, but that was said in one of the task force meetings.
Huh.
So they want to spend no more than $25,000 to have another engineer sort of eyeball that Gannett Fleming proposal for the pipeline, for the size of the pipeline, for the route of the pipeline.
I got it for half that.
And
but wait a minute, I'm not an engineer. Is that reasonable?
Well,
what do engineers charge?
You know, they said it was reasonable if it was very limited in what you wanted to do. If all you want to do is sort of eyeball, you know, a line on a map and not do any on the ground field engineering.
Yeah, that's where it gets expensive once you start sending your guys out into the field.
Yeah. So they've said for up to $25,000 they would do that. Now, one of the wrinkles Mayor Norris insisted on last night was to add into the mix that the other pipeline options should not be taken fully off the table, and that they should look at, as part of this, a larger pipe. Because Mayor Norris made the comment that he's getting information that says a larger pipe might be more helpful in the goal of reducing the size of a Ragged Mountain Reservoir. So he wants that looked at. So that was some of the added information that got put on the table last night. They ended up unanimously approving this and endorsing Mayor Norris's additional requirements.
We're talking with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Beth is on the line. I'm sorry, Betty is on the line. Betty, sorry.
Hey.
Go right ahead. How you doing?
Hi. I think you're right that this is going to be an election issue next year. Because I think what Mr. Crutchfield has said is that this is such a waste of money. They're just throwing the ratepayers' money away. They're going to spend a lot more than $250,000 looking at the dam. And the dam doesn't work without the pipeline. And the whole thing, the public, it's kind of like the emperor without the clothes. The public gets it, but the officials just won't give up on it. And what they're doing is they're throwing money at a plan that everybody knows is going to be way too expensive, isn't practical, isn't environmental. And I think that spending $250,000 on dredging is what they should do immediately. And if they can dredge for $30 million and get 30 years of water, they'll give them plenty of time to figure this out. But the other whole idea of hiring dam consultants and hiring this consultants and hiring that consultants, I think they're throwing our money away, and I hope some people will run against any politician that supports that.
So, Betty, that was a unanimous vote by council. So what does that mean for you when you think about the—
How many seats are up on council next year?
Well, Mayor Norris is up and Julian Taliaferro is up.
Julian Taliaferro and David Norris.
There are two seats, yeah. And I think if we don't see the dredging surveys get done immediately for the water supply, that somebody is going to have to call this for what it is, and it's a scam. It's a scam on the ratepayers. $250,000 to study the dredging is nothing compared. They've spent $5 million trying to get this dam and pipeline, and we have nothing for it. We've thrown away $5 million. They have nothing on the pipeline. It's a back-of-the-envelope computation. They have the dam. They never estimated the cost since 2004. It's not the fractured rock. The RWSA, in a memo that we have, says don't look at an escalated estimate. They knew this estimate was going to go way up, but it was never looked at. I mean, I think the public has been scammed. I really do.
Betty,
and
thanks.
I hope this is a political football that somebody will pick up in the next election.
So, Betty, thank you. Yeah,
Betty, what is your take on the Gaffney reappointment?
I think if you were a private business and you looked at what he's done, he scrapped the 2002 plan, we doubled the water rates, we spent $5 million plus dollars on consultants, and we have not one drop of water to show for it. Now, what private business would reappoint him? Just tell me, on that record, what private business?
I don't have an answer for you.
I was just curious what you thought about, because I knew you had strong
feelings
about it.
Well, that's his record. And if you were a private business and you looked at that record, he scrapped our plan that we had in 2002. He spent over $5 million, which he approved. We have not one drop of water, and we have a plan that's not going to work.
Betty, thank you for the call. I got to run. thank you so much for the call. Betty, of course, is with the Citizens for a Sustainable Water Supply Plan, which has brought forth a lot of information and asked a lot of questions about the 50-year water supply plan. Do you want to wrap up?
You know, it, like I said, it was certainly one of the top stories of 2008 in many facets, both the dredging piece, which, you know, I credit Betty's group for bringing that to the table and making it get a serious look.
Yeah, absolutely.
The dredging task force has certainly been spending a lot of time on that. But also then, you know, the different components of this plan, what are they going to cost? And is this the best way to get a safe and sufficient water supply? And I think that discussion will continue throughout 2009.
Absolutely. Brian Wheeler, we'll talk to you again very soon. Have
Thank
a great Christmas.
Boy. You too.
And we'll break for CBS News, local news and weather, and talk to you all tomorrow.
Hi, this is Corbin Snow of the Snow Nose Gardening Show, the longest continuously.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.